Today's daf is Sukkah daf Chaf Ches, another jam-packed daf. Today we begin on the bottom of Chaf Zayin Amid Beis. We are up to the second to last skinny line of Chaf Zayin Amid Beis. And the Gemara is going to start with telling us a few stories about Rabbi Lazar, one where he was questioned about spreading a cloth on a sukkah and he seemed to be avoiding giving an answer. On the top of Chaf Ches Amrav, the Gemara is going to tell us five different hanhagos that Rabbi Eliezer had, 10 different hanhagos that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had. Once we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we mentioned that Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the smallest of all of them. Yonasan ben Azil was the greatest of all of them, and we're going to go through what that means exactly to be the smallest of the Talmidim of Hillel HaZaken, and what it means to be the greatest of his Talmidim. Then the Mishnah is going to talk about two different halachos, about the halacha that we've already spoken about with Rosh HaVeruba B'sukkah V'Shulchan B'Soch HaBayis, whether a person is Yotzei the Mitzvah that way, and also the general halacha of Nashim HaVadim HaKatanim are Potter from Sukkah. The Gemara is going to have drashos and halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai to teach that women are Potter from Sukkah, but that they are Chayiv in Inui on Yom HaKippurim. We're going to have two reasons why we would have assumed without a drasha or without a halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai that women might be chayiv in sukkah. If after all it's mitzvah shazman gram, why would we ever assume that they're chayiv? So the Gemara is going to have two havaminas why they would have been chayiv without a special drasha, and we're also going to have a drasha to show that gerim are chayiv in sukkah and that women are chayiv not only in inui but in tosefes inui on Yom HaKippurim. Then we're going to go back to discuss ketanim, the difference between a katan sheigia lechinuch versus a katan shelo igia lechinuch, what it means when we say that a katan sheino tzarech liimo is part from sukkah. How do we define is chayiv in sukkah? How do we define eino tzarich li'imo? And and how Shammai's attitude toward ketanim was a little bit different than our attitude. Shammai was a little more machmir, much more machmir. And then the last mishnah on the daf discusses how a person is supposed to make his sukkah keva and how much rain has to fall in order to justify leaving the sukkah. And the gemara is going to talk about what that means, sukkaso keva, that what you have to have in the sukkah and how much person has to learn or what kind of learning a person has to do inside the sukkah as opposed to inside the house. So let's begin. Tanu Rabbanan, two lines before the lines get wide. Tanu Rabbanan, Maisa Rabbi Elazar Shabbos B'Galil Elyon B'Sukkos Shel Yochanan Rabbi Eloi B'Kisri. One time Rabbi Eliezer spent Shabbos in Galil Elyon in the sukkah of Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Eloi in Kisri. V'Amrila B'Kisaryon, and some say in Kisaryon, V'Yigia Chamul Sukkah, and the sun began to shine on the sukkah. So Amrila Ma'usha Fasala Sadin. So he asked the Shaila, can I put a cloth over the sukkah? They asked Rabbi Elazar, can we put a cloth over the sukkah to block the sun? Amar lo, so he said, Ein lecha kol shevet b'shevet Yisrael shelo hemin mimenu shofet. You should know that there was no shevet in all of Klal Yisrael that didn't have their own shofet. He giach hamel chatzi, so he didn't answer the question. He just stopped, told him a nice, interesting fact. He giach hamel chatzi asukkah. Then the sun went halfway over the sukkah. Amar lo, ma'u shefra slo sadin. It was getting really hot, so he said, can I spread a cloth over the sukkah? Amar lo, Ein lecha kol shevet b'shevet Yisrael shelo yatsim menu neviim. Shevet Yehuda bin Yamin. You should know that every single Shevet had Nevi'im emerged from that Shevet, and Shevet Yehuda bin Yamin even had Melachim that were crowned Alpi Nevi'im. So another very interesting fact, but also didn't answer the question. Then the sun got all the way to the feet of Rabbi Lazar, so Rabbi Yochanan had enough. Yochanan took the cloth and he spread it over the sukkah. He wasn't getting an answer to his question, so he took the matter into his own hands. Hivshil Rabbi Lazar talisa la'achor v'yatza. So Rabbi Lazar storms out in anger. Lo mipreshe fligu b'devarim el mnesh lo amar davar shlo shama mipi Rabbi Liolim. Now the reason he avoided answering the question was not that he was being mean or he was he was trying to avoid him, but rather he had this hanhaga that he would never say anything that he didn't hear from his rebbeim. The Aruch Lener explains that he was actually giving him an answer, that when he was describing Ein Lecha Kol Shevet V'Shevet, he was hinting to him what his response really is, because in the Maskana of the Sugya we see that any suffix was only according to any suffix we might have about spreading a cloth over the sukkah is only according to Rabbi Lezer's own shita about being Mosif al Oel Arayah on Shabbos. We're about to see that in a few lines, but according to the shita of the Chachamim, who hold you're allowed to be Mosif on an Oel Arayah on Shabbos, then certainly you're allowed to be Pori Sadin. So that's why he said Kol Yisrael Lemidu Shoftim, everyone has their own Shoftim, so follow the majority. You tell I'm only a Das Yachid, I have to follow my opinion, you follow whatever opinion you want, you follow the, not just what you follow, the majority opinion. That's your entitled to follow the majority opinion. So so that's how he was responding to him. That and also says Aruch Lener, maybe he's being merames, that you yourself can issue psak halacha. Every shevet has their own shofet, so you're qualified to issue psak halacha. And once he saw that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lai didn't want to issue psak halacha, so he said, no, don't worry, you could have siyata d'shmaya in your piskei halacha. Every shofet has nevi'im. Nevuah represents the siyata d'shmaya, where Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to help you out, so you'll have siyata d'shmaya in your psak halacha. So he was encouraging to paskin on his own, according to the Aruch Lener. So anyway, ask Gemara, Hechi Yavad Achi Varma Blazer and Yotzim Yisukal Sukkah. How could Rabbi Lozer have gone away for that Shabbos of Sukkot? I thought you're not allowed to leave your Sukkah at all in the middle of Sukkot. Rabbi Lozer lived in Lud, so he was obviously away from home. And so Gemara, Regalach Ravai, this wasn't about the Yom Tov of Sukkot. This was just about being Mosef Aloha Larai. So they were sitting in a gazebo in the backyard on Pesach. It had nothing to do with Sukkot. Vam Rabbi Lozer Meshabech Anisat Son Shein Yotzim Batein Beregel. But wait a second, doesn't Rabbi Lozer say that you should never leave your house on Yom Tov? You should be with your family on Yom Tov. So even if it was Pesach or Shavuos, how was he allowed to leave his house at all? So Shabbos Havai, it wasn't Yom Tov, it was Shabbos, and that was the whole issue. So Frak the Gemara, Betivshut Leimididei, shouldn't he have been able to answer the question based on Rabbi Eliezer's own Shita, that you're not allowed to be Mosef on an Ohel Arai on Shabbos? Titnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, Pekaka Chalon, if you have a window shutter, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bizman Shekosher V'Tolui Pokukin Bo. The only time you can close it up is if it's tied onto the house and it's hanging from the window, not where it's resting on the ground next to the window. It's hanging midair from the window, so that's still considered connected enough that you could just put it in place on Shabbos. But v'imlav ein bokinbo, if it's not kosher v'tali, then you're not allowed to close up a window with a window shutter on Shabbos. V'chamrom ben kach pokin. The Chum disagree. The Chum say it's just mosef alo alarai, so you're allowed to. But don't you see from Rabbi Eliezer's own shita that one is not allowed to be mosef alo alarai, and therefore it should have been poshut from Rabbi Eliezer's own shita that you're not allowed to spread the sadin over the sukkah? And so Gemara hasamu de mevatel aval hacha de lo mevatel lo. The over there the case was you're being mevatel the window shutter to the house. Over here where you're not being mevatel it, you're just putting the sadin temporarily, so maybe it wouldn't be so bad. That's what its suffix was, that maybe even Rabbi Eliezer would be moda that would be okay. But again, like we said before, the whole suffix was only within Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. According to the Chum, that you're even allowed to put a window shutter in place which has more permanence to it, so certainly they would have been allowed to be pari sadin. Once we talk about Rabbi Eliezer's hanhaga that he never said anything shalosham pi rabbo, so the Gemara tells us a few other hanhagas of Rabbi Eliezer. Tan rabban ma'aser Rabbi Eliezer shavus beGalila Elyon. One time Rabbi Eliezer spent time in Galila Elyon. Vishalu shloshim halachos b'hilchos sukkah, and they asked him 30 different shailas in hilchos sukkah. Shtayim esrei amar lahem shamati. About 12 of them, he said, he replied, shamati. Shmona asra amar lahem lo shamati. And 18 of them, he said, lo shamati. Because he only said things that he was shamai. He only said things that he heard from his rebbeim. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah amar chilif advarim. He says, no, it was the opposite. Shmona asra amar lahem shamati. Shtayim esrei amar lahem lo shamati. It was 18 of them that he said shamati. 12 of them that he said lo shamati. Rav Shechter pointed out when we were learning this Gemara that the Midrashim say about Rabbi Lazar that he said things that the Kolsli Beis HaMedrash never heard before, such great chidushim neflaim that he would always say. So it sounds like a stira. Did he say great chidushim neflaim that the Kolsli Beis HaMedrash never heard, or did he never say anything shlo shama mipi rabo? So he said that's a kasha if you never learned in Rav Salvechik Shir. He said anyone who ever learned in Rav Salvechik Shir would never ask such a kasha, because he said chidushim neflaim every single day, but every single sentence started with I heard from my father in the name of my grandfather. And it was clear was that every single yesod was a masorah that he had from Reb Chaim. Every single yesod that he built all of his learning off of. So it was lo shama, lo amar davar shlo shama pi rabo. But at the same time, his application of those yesodos was in a way that was with chidushim neflaim. That's what he said over. So anyway, so amalo called varecha in el mipi ashmua. So they said everything you say, you only say mipi ashmua. You only say if you heard it. So amalo is kaktuni lo amar davar shlo shamati pi rabo say. So he says, okay, now you forced me into it. You forced me into saying something that I didn't hear me pi rabosai. By criticizing me and asking me that I'm only saying things that I heard me pi ashmua, I have to tell you all of my hanhagos. The following five are my critical hanhagos. Number one, mi yamai lo kidam niyadam beis hamedrash. No one ever beat me to the beis medrash. Number two, v'lo yashanti beis hamedrash lo shinas keva v'lo shinas arai. I never slept in the beis medrash, not a shinas keva, not a shinas arai. Number three, v'lo anach diyadam beis hamedrash liyatsasi. I was always the last one out of the Beis HaMedrash. Number four, v'losachti sichas chulin. I never engage in just mundane talk. I'm always speaking in Torah. And number five, v'lo amarti dover shlo shemati impi rabbi mi'olam. I never said anything that I didn't hear from my rebbeim ever. So the Ben Yoyada points out that these are not five unrelated things, meaning this was a response to criticism. They said to him, you never say anything that you didn't hear from your rebbeim, so you're never going to be able to teach anything. What are Talmidim going to do when they ask shailas? He says, why, you think... How little do you think I heard from my Rebbeim? Do you know how much time I spent in the Beis Medrash? Do you know how much time I spent learning? Look at these other four Hanhagos. I heard everything there is to hear. So it's not like I'm ill-equipped to respond to questions. For the most part, I'll be able to respond to almost anything because of my Asmada. I was always in the Beis Medrash. So Amar Lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gemara tells us 10 Hanhagos that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had. Number one, Miyamav Losach Sichas Chulin. He never said any Sichas Chulin. We had a Gemara earlier that Sichas Chulin that Sichas Chulin of Talmid Chachamim is something that we have to learn from as well. But that doesn't mean that a Talmud Chacham has to speak Sichas Chulin. It means a typical Talmud Chacham will sometimes speak Sichas Chulin, and that's something to learn from as well. But all the more so, you can learn from his Torah. So he had this Hanhaga above and beyond. It's not that it's us to speak Sichas Chulin. It's that he had this beautiful Hanhaga that he would never speak Sichas Chulin. So Asemis raises the question, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai never spoke Sichas Chulin. How did he manage to pull that off? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Aleph, tells us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived for 120 years. The first 40 years he was a businessman, and then after that he got involved in learning and then in leading Klal Yisrael and teaching. So 40 years as a businessman, never spoke Sichas Chulin. That's impossible. It can't be that he didn't speak Sichas Chulin throughout that entire time. So Sasema suggests that what the Gemara means, Miyamav, means from the days that he started learning, from the age of 40, when he started being involved in the Beis Medrash on a full-time basis, that's when he stopped speaking Sichas Chulin. Or it could be Miyamav doesn't mean his entire life. Miyamav means when he was a Rosh Yeshiva. As soon as they appointed him as Rosh Yeshiva, he was Lo Sach Sichas Chulin. And that's why the Gemara is going to conclude all this 10 Hanhagos, and it's going to say V'kacha Yenoig Rabbi Eliezer Talmido Acharav, that Rabbi Eliezer's Talmud was Noig like that after him as well. Meaning, when he became the Rosh Yeshiva, he took on those Hanhagos of a Rosh Yeshiva. When a person takes on Chumras, a person has to make sure that they're ready for such Chumras. Sometimes a person decides when they're a teenager, you know what, I'm not ready for such a chumrah because it's not for me. And they forget that as you grow and as you become greater and greater, hopefully, that maybe certain things we are ready for, certain hanhagos we are ready for as we get on in life. So a person becomes a Rosh Yeshiva, so he should take on certain chumras. Nothing wrong with that. So anyway, so that was number one. Number two, v'lo halach tal ramos b'lo Torah b'lo tefillin. He never went for ramos without Torah and without tefillin. Number three, v'lo kidmo adam b'sa medrash, no one ever beat him to the Beis Medrash. Number four, Vilayashan Beis Medrash, Lashinas Kevin, Lashinas Rai. Never slept in the Beis Medrash, not Ashinas Kevin, nor Ashinas Rai. Number five, Velo, here, Bimufos Amatunafos. He was never Maharer B'divrei Torah in dirty places, which is a big deal when your whole life is Torah and you're never Sachsi Chaschul and you're always thinking in Torah, you're always learning Torah. So it's very difficult to divert one's mind from Torah when that's all he thinks about all day long. And number six, Leiniachadim Beis Medrash Viatza. No one ever left him in the Beis Medrash, meaning he was always the last one out. Number seven, Vlamatzu Adam Yoshev Vidomim El Yoshev Vishona. No one ever found him sitting and silently. Rather, he was Yoshev Vishona. He was always sitting and learning. There was, whenever his lips were moving, it's because he was learning. Number eight, Vlopasach Adam Delis L'Talmidav El Huba Atzmo. He showed such kavod to his Talmidim that he was the one that was always opening up the doors for his Talmidim. Number nine, Velo Omer Davar Shloshem Pi Rabba Me'olam. He never said anything over that he didn't hear from his Rebbeim. And number ten, Velo Omer Igiya Islam Beis HaMedrash Chutz Mi'arvei Psachim V'arvei Yom HaKippurim. He would never say it's time to leave the Beis Medrash except for 2 days a year, on Erev Pesach and on Erev Yom Kippur. V'chein Erev Lazar Talmid Noig Achrav. And that's what Erev Lazar's Talmud was knowing after him as well, that only those 2 times a year he would say it's time to leave all these 10 things, including that only those 2 times a year he would say it's time to leave the Beis Medrash. Why only those 2 times a year? What are they leaving the Beis Medrash for on Erev Pesach and Erev Yom HaKippurim? So the Gemara in Psachim Daf Kuf Tes actually fills in. The Gemara says that they would have to leave on Erev Pesach on Erev Pesach because of the Tinokos, that the Sorashi over here says Erev Pesach Mnei Asiyas Pischeim, that an Erev Pesach was for making cooking of the Korban Pesach, and Mipriyat Tinokos, that they should be able to sleep during the day and not sleep at night, B'Shas HaGadah, we want to keep the children awake. So the Aruch Lener explains, Rashi adds the reason of Korban Pesach and doesn't say the reason that's explicit in the Gemara and Pesachim, that is because of the Tinokos, because Taisus has a Kasha and Rashi in Maseches Pesachim. In Maseches Pesachim, Rashi says because of the Tinokos. The father needs to leave the Beis Medrash on Erev Pesach to put the kids to sleep, make sure the kids take a nap, so that they'll be awake for the Seder. Frek Taisus on Rashi, in Pesachim Daf Kuftes, the kids can't go to sleep without the father, who's the one that normally puts them to sleep. Normally, mommy's the one that puts the kids to sleep anyway. The father has to leave the Beis Medrash to put the kids to sleep. So one could suggest that mommy puts them to sleep all the time, and they probably sometimes say no, and they sometimes don't go to sleep. But if the father comes home, they know it must be serious. It must be a really, he never leaves the Beis Medrash. If he's coming home just to put them to sleep, then it must be serious business that they have to go to sleep. But anyway, Tosus asks that as Kasha and Rashi, and Tosus changes the girsa and says that it has to be Lel Pesach, not Erev Pesach, and it's so the children shouldn't fall asleep. It's about the children sleeping, is not to give them a nap. He has to leave the Beis Medrash right away after davening on the night of the Seder to start the Seder as quickly as possible so that the kids won't fall asleep by the time he gets home. It's not a time to sit and learn on the night of the Seder after davening is over. That's what it means, says Tosos. But Rashi didn't have the Girsa Lel Pesach. He had the Girsa of Erev Pesach. So since you have the Girsa of Erev Pesach, so that's why Rashi has to say that it was a Korban Pesach, or is to give the kids a nap. Good, so that's why Rashi over here adds that Korban Pesach element, perhaps because of Tosfos Kasha. What about Erev Yom Kippurim? Why would they say makbet to leave on Erev Yom Kippurim? So the Gemara says that to leave Erev Yom Kippurim, to be machal the tinokos, you have to give the children what to eat, because there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippurim. So you want to make sure that the children fulfill that mitzvah of eating. So the Achronim over there asked the question, yeah, there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippurim, so they should go home to eat themselves. Forget about to give the children to eat. And anyway, is there a mitzvah for the children to eat? Isn't the mitzvah only for those who are fasting on Yom Kippur to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? So that itself is a machlokas in the Rishonim. What the purpose of the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is? Is it to prepare you for the fast, or is it an independent mitzvah that of eating on Erev Yom Kippur? Nafkamina would be whether nashim are chayiv. Nashim have to fast, so if it's to prepare for the fast, it certainly would have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. But if it's an independent mitzvah, it's mitzvah shazman grama, women would be peturos from fasting. That's what Rabbi Kivega discusses in the Tshuva. So maybe ketanim, if they're not going to fast, would be subject to that same machlokas. But the Gemara says ketanim do fast. The last 2 years before the bar mitzvah, the Gemara says that ketanim are supposed to fast in Yom Kippur, and before that, misanin l'shaos. They should fast a little bit during the day. So it's likely that we're feeding ketanim, who anyway are going to fast. But in terms of why it is that they didn't have to go home to feed themselves, because I think the Achronim explained that Talmidei Chachamim are allowed to eat in the Beis Medrash, because that's where they live, pretty much, in the Beis Medrash. So the Yisra Chilushtiyah in the Beis HaKnesses doesn't apply to a Beis Medrash where those who are Tarasam Nasam, those who learn all day, are in the Beis Medrash. They're allowed to eat in a Beis Medrash. They wouldn't have to go home to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim, but they have to go home to make sure their kids eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim. So these are the 10 Hanagos. Tan Rabbanu, Shmonim Talmidim Ayil Alil HaZakein. Hil HaZakein had 80 Talmidim. Shloshim Yanruim Shetish Aleim Shechina Kamosh Rabbeinu. 30 of them were wrote to have the Shechina reside on them like Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Chidah at Sapikorsus. What do you mean? Lo kam Yisrael Kamosha? Oh, there was never another Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. We can never say that anyone could ever be another Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that gives the Torah, and that's it. So this is against one of the Ikari Amuna. So answers the Chidah. No, it's Ra'ui Shetish Shechina Kamosha Rabbeinu. But obviously, they weren't actually Nevi'im. The Nevu'ah already stopped in the days of Chagai Zechariah Malachi. It's only apikorsus to say someone actually became a Navi, Kimosh Rabbeinu. That would be apikorsus. Also, it says Shetish Rashchina. It doesn't say Nevuah. It could be Ashras Rashchina is different than Nevuah. Ru'i and Hay Shetish Rashchina may have some other meaning other than Nevuah. Anyway, but that was 30 of them. Ushloshman Ruim Shetamalem Chama Kiyosho Ben Nun. And 30 of them were right to have the sun stand in place for them, like it did for Yoshua bin nun. Rashbam points out for Moshe, it also the chama also stood in place. So why is it only ki Yoshua bin nun? Because Moshe had a more important. That's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chafei. Yeah, but Moshe had a higher level. Moshe had the Madrega that he was Tishrei Lev Shechina on a high level, which is more important than the sun standing in place. And Esrim Beninim. Then there were 20 average ones. Gadol Shel, everything's relative. Gadol Shel Bekulan Yonasan Ben Uziel. The greatest of all the Talmidim Philozakin was Yonasan Ben Uziel. Katan Shel Bekulan Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. The smallest of all of them was Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Amr Laval Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai Shlo Niach Mikro Mishnah Gemara Halachas Vagadol Stik Tuk Ketorah Vitik Tuk Esof From Kalam Chamurim Gzeru Shavas Tkufas Ugmatrius Sichas Melach Yesharis Visich Hashem Sichas Tkalam Mishalos Kovsim Mishalos Shoalim Davar Gadol Davar Kadim Davar Gadol Maisam Merkava Davar Kadim Avayus Abay Vrava Lekayim Hashem Lan Chalav Yeshu Tsem Amalei that they said about Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he knew everything. He was the smallest of the Talmidim, but he not only knew all of Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara, and Halacha, and Agada, and Tiktukei Torah, and everything that the Rabbanan said, and all the Kalas and Chamurus, and all sorts of and how the constellations worked, and what the Malachi Asharis were talking about, and what the Shadim were talking about, and the Sichas Dekalim Rashi says about some of these things. Lo Yadana Maihi. Not only do I not know these things, I don't even know what they are. What is Sichas Dekalim? I don't know what these things are, Rashi says. And he knew all sorts of mishalim about foxes and different things. And he and Davar Katan, like the Havayos of Abai Vareva. It's interesting that it calls out a Davar Katan. What do you mean? This is what we live with. That's what we live on, the Havayos of Abai Vareva. The Ritva says Davar Katan Legabe Maisa Merkava. Again, everything is relative. In comparison to Maisa Merkava, it's considered to be a Davar Katan. He knew everything, and that was the katan shabakulan. So says Mar v'chemiachas katan shabakulan kach gadol shabakulan alachas kama v'kama. If that was the katan shabakulan, can you imagine what the gadol shabakulan knew? What he must have been. Samra l'aval Yonasan ben Uziel. They said about the gadol shabakulan about Yonasan ben Uziel b'shah sheyoshiv osam k'torah that at the time that he sat and learned Torah kol ofsho pareich alav mi'an nisraf. Any bird that would fly overhead would immediately get burnt. When he was learning Torah, why would the bird get burnt? What happened? So Tosfos explains Shadvarim Smechim Kinisinasim B'Sinai, because the Dvarim Smechim Kinisinasim B'Sinai is Torah was so unbelievable, it was like getting it at Har Sinai. Shenitna Torah be'esh, and the Torah was given with esh. So Kinyan Zematzina b'Medrash, and Tosfos says we find such a concept in the Medrash that the Torah was given with esh, and therefore there's fire surrounding those who learn Torah at the level of Har Sinai. Rashi says a little different. Nisraf shei malachei asharis mekskabtsin svivav l'shma divrei Torah mipiv. That it wasn't just that. It was kinesinos and besinai that there was esh involved, but that the malachei asharis would come to hear his Torah. His Torah was so beautiful. All the malachim used to want to come to listen in on his Torah, and therefore, when a bird flew overhead, the bird would get burnt by the malachim. Remember when we were learning this in Yeshiva, Rav Shachter said that he was starting to cry, and he said, "You boys have no idea what it means that the malachim are coming to listen to the shir." He said, "When we were in Rav Soloveitchik shir, that's what we felt every single day. We felt like the malachim wanted to come and hear his chidushei Torah every single day." So we had a sense of what that meant. Also, thus it says the Mishnah now, Misha Yerosha Veruba Basuka V'Shulchan B'Socha Bayis. If a person is sitting back to halacha now, so a person is sitting in Rosh Veruba in the sukkah, and his shulchan is B'Socha Bayis. Beishamei Poslin U'Beisil Machshirin. Beishamai says pasul, Beisil says kasher. We already discussed this way earlier in the Masechta, at the very beginning of the Masechta. Amulam Beisil Beishamai. So Beisil says to Beishamai, Lo kach v'yemaisa sholchu zikne Beishamai v'zikne Beisil al levakar Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranis. Don't you know the story when the zikne Beishamai and the zikne Beisil al went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranis, umatzu sheyoshiv rosh of rubu sukkah v'shulchan b'socha bayis, and they found he was sitting rosh of rubu b'sukkah and a shulchan b'socha bayis v'lo amrulo davar, and they didn't criticize him at all. Not even the Ziknei Beis Shammai, no one said a word to him, everyone was fine with it. So don't you see it's a raya that it's perfectly permissible to sit in such a way in the sukkah? So Amalem Beis Shammai, the Beis Shammai said back to the Beis Hillel, Misham raya? Why, you think that story is a raya? You missed half the story. Afim Amrlo, they did say to him, Imkein Yisrael Noeg Lo Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. The Ziknei Beis Hillel left early. After the Ziknei Beis Hillel left, the Ziknei Beis Shammai told him, if this is how you've been sitting in sukkah, you were never Mekayim Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. Nacha, you recall we had that machlokas Tosus Daf Gimel Amud Aleph in the Ran. What does it mean Lo Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha? Does it mean Lo Kiyamta Mitzvah the way the Rabbanan want you to be Mekayim the Mitzvah? Because clearly this is only a Din Midrabbanan. Shema Yimashay Chachar Shulchano on a Daraisa level, a person would be Yotze when a Shulchan is Besoch HaBayis. So did they mean that you're not Mekayim on a Drabbanan level? Or maybe they meant even Midaraisa, you were never Mekayim the Mitzvah of Sukkah, because that's the Koach of the Rabbanan, that when the Rabbanan tell you to do a mitzvah in a particular way and you don't follow their instructions in how to do the mitzvah daraisa, the Rabbanan are empowered to even take away the kiyum daraisa of sukkah. That's how Tosus understands. So that's the machlokas Tosus and the Ran, what this phrase means. This line in the Mishnah plays an important role in terms of the general halacha. Whenever we have a machlokas b'sham b'sham b'shilol, the sugi maseches erev in daf yud gimel and beis tells us that Amr Rabbi Abba Amr Shmuel Shalosh Shanim Nechlu Beisham Beis Hillel Halalu Amr Melech Kamosenu Halalu Amr Melech Kamosenu. For 3 years the Talmidim Beisham and the Talmidim Beis Hillel were arguing with each other on all sorts of different halachas, and each one was saying the halacha follows us, till finally a baskel comes out and says Eilu Ve'elu Divrei Elkim Chayim Hein, that both Beisham and Beis Hillel are Divrei Elkim Chayim, the halacha ke Beis Hillel, but the halacha is like the Beis Hillel, and from then on we always pass like the Beis Hillel. So Gemara says, wait a second, if it's Eilu Ve'elu Divrei Elkim Chayim, then why is the halacha always like Beis Hillel? Beis Shammai is not wrong, it's just a different perspective that still fits within what we would call Torah. So why is the halacha never like the Beis Shammai, asks the Gemara. So the Gemara answers, Mnei Shanochen Va'aluvin Hayu V'shonin Divreim V'Divrei Beis Shammai V'lo Odel Shamakdim V'Divrei Beis Shammai L'Divreim. Beis Hillel was very easygoing, and they would always say over the Divrei Beis Shammai, and they would not only say over their own shittos, they would say over the shittos of Beis Shammai, and not only that, they would say over Beis Shammai's opinion before they would say their own opinion. And what's the example the Gemara gives of where they would say Beis Shammai before themselves? This Mishnah, where Lo Kacha Yemaisa, that Holch Zikne Beis Shammai Zikne Beis Hillel. So why are we quoting this Mishnah? Every single Mishnah in Shas, whenever we have Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai always comes before the Beis Hillel. No, the Raya is from this Mishnah, because over here it's not just the stum of the Mishnah talking. The Beis Hillel is saying to the Beis Shammai, Lo Kacha Yemaisa Shalchu Ziknei, how would you tell the story that my Zikanim and your Zikanim went? No, they tell the story, Shalchu Ziknei Beis Shammai V'Ziknei Beis Hillel. Even when telling a story, not even describing Machlokas and Halacha, they put the Ziknei Beis Shammai first. They always show the cover to the Ziknei Beis Shammai before the cover to their own Zikanim. The Pashtus is that they were Makdim Ziknei Beis Shammai, that they would always learn the Shita that argues with them, and therefore they're more correct La Halacha, that they were able to arrive at a more correct conclusion. Not mitam siyata d'shmayo or anything like that. It's not magic. It's that or whatever. It's very logical that if you want to have an opinion that it's a well-informed opinion, you need to understand the other shita. If you don't understand the other shita, then your own opinion is not a well-informed opinion. That's what the Rishonim already write in Masech Sorios, that you can't say achay rabim. You can't go basar the rov shitos if the rov doesn't know the minority opinion. The rov has to have been aware of the minority opinion so that they could know what their own shita is, because you can't know your own shita unless you know what the other shita is. But okay, so that's why that was the Beis Hillel's right, and the Beis Shammai says, no, you got the story wrong. So it says the Mishnah now is separate halacha. Nashim Avadim Ketanim Patur Min HaSukkah. Nashim Avadim and Ketanim are Potter from the mitzvah of sukkah. Katan shein tzarich limo chayiv b'sukkah. A child who no longer needs his mother's assistance is chayiv in sukkah. Ma'isav yolda kalos v'shalshamei azaken upichis ma'aziva v'sicha gabi amita b'shvil katan. One time, the daughter-in-law of Shammai Azaken gave birth, and they opened up the ceiling in the room where the baby was, where the baby stayed, and they put schach over the baby's crib in order to that the baby should be in a sukkah. That's the Gemara's going to ask, that this mice is against the halacha we just said. We just said Nashim Avadim Ketanim are Patur from sukkah. Then he tells a story where they're putting an infant in a sukkah. Tosus in a couple of places in Shas asked the kasha. Tosus in Pesachim Daf Kuf Chesem Beis asked the kasha, why is it that women are Patur in sukkah? We say in a few different places in Shas, Afin Hayibos Nes, that any nes that women were involved in, any mitzvah that celebrates a nes that women were involved in, so we say Afin Hayibos Nes, that women are chayiv in those mitzvahs as well. That's why women are chayiv in Dalukos. So mitzvos. That's why women are chayiv in Megillah. That's why women are chayiv in Ner Chanukah. So why don't we say afin ha'ibos ha'neis by the mitzvah of Sukkah? So Tosfos says, now that only works for mitzvos midrabanan. Mitzvos d'oraisa, we don't say afin ha'ibos ha'neis. That's how Tosfos says in Maseches Pesachim. Tosfos Maseches Megillah gives a different tarot. It's similar but different. Tosfos Maseches Megillah says it works for mitzvos d'oraisa also, but it would only be a mechayev midrabanan. Afin ha'ibos ha'neis is a svara midrabanan. It's not a svara midoraisa. So Sayinachinami, Tosfos over there says that if we were to use afin ha'ibos ha'neis, then women would become chayev in whatever mitzvah we were applying it to. They would become chayev midrabanan, not midoraisa. Tosfos Megillah is using it not to answer the sukkah question, but to answer the question about why we don't say afin ha'ibos ha'neis on matzah. We should say that women are chayev in matzah because of afin ha'ibos ha'neis, instead of learning a drasha called Sheyashon Balto Chalchamet Yashon Bekomechel Matzah. So Tosfos says, no, we need a drasha because otherwise the chiyuv only would have been midrabanan. Sukkah, you're going to have to say something else. For Sukkah, you're going to have to say a different time because Sukkah, they're tako pater. So afin ha'ibos ha'neis should have at least been mechayev them midrabanan. So the teretz of Tosfos in Pesachim works for Sukkah. Teretz of Tosfos in Megillah doesn't work for Sukkah. But anyway, so the Rav Salvechik points out in Harei Kedem, he's quoted that, well, we never apply afin ha'ibos ha'neis for any mitzvah that's not pirsumi nisa. Even though there are mitzvahs that celebrate a neis, if the mitzvah, the nature of the mitzvah is not for pirsumi nisa, we don't apply afin ha'ibos ha'neis. Sukkah is not pirsumi nisa, it's a celebration of a neis, but it's not a pirsumi nisa. Okay, says Gemara Minani Mili, how do I know this din that women are part from Sukkah? The Tanur Rabbanu, because we have a brisa that darshins as follows. Ezrach ze Ezrach. Ezrach refers to regular Jews of chayiv in Sukkah. Kol Ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkos. Typically, people are chayiv in Sukkah. Ha Ezrach lo tzias anashim. Ha Ezrach comes to exclude women, meaning from Ezrach alone, we would have said women are chayiv in Sukkah. Ha Ezrach tells me that women are pater. Kol l'rabos esakatanim. The word kol in the phrase kol ha Ezrach comes to tell me that even katanim. Somer mar. Ha Ezrach lo tzias anashim. L'meimah da Ezrach bein nashim ein gavri mashma. So when we say Ha Ezrach comes to exclude women, that implies that the word Ezrach on its own would include women. Va'atanya, but we have another braisa. Ha Ezrach l'rabos esanashim Ezrach yashachayavos bi'inui. We learn from Ha Ezrach that women are chayv in inui in Yom HaKippurim. Alma Ezrach gavri mashma, which make it sound like without the hay, the word Ezrach alone means only men. So which is it? Is Ezrach alone by Yom Kippur? Ezrach alone means only men. And by Sukkah, Ezrach alone would be men and women. So which is it? Which is the mashmos of the word? So Amar Rabba, Hilchsa Ninuvas Mechin Rabba Nakrai. One of these things is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, not really a drasha from Pasuk. The other one's a real drasha from Pasuk. Say, Kra Vehei Hilchsa. Which one is the drasha and which one is the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? Vesu, Kra Lamali, Hilchsa Lamali. And furthermore, why do I need sources in a drasha or in Halacha L'Moshe Misinai for either one of these halachos? Hasukkah Mitzvah Shazman Grama, Kol Mitzvah Shazman Grama, and Nashim Peturos. Sukkah, I would know anyway that women are part from Sukkah because it's Mitzvah Shazman Grama. Women are always part from Mitzvah Shazman Grama. And Yom Kippur, Midrav Yudam Rav Nafka. In terms of Inu and Yom Kippur, that I would also know. Dam Rav Yudam Rav, Vechain Tan Dever Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Kra, Ish O Isha. Pasuk says Ish O Isha, where we learn from there, Hishva Kasav Isha Lish, Lakal Onshim Shabbatara. There we always treat men and women the same for all Onshim Shabbatara, for every Onish in the Torah. So why would I ever have a Havamina that women are any different than men when it comes to Inui and Yom Kippurim? So again, the Gemara's question is, one of these things is a Pasuk, one of them is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. We don't know which is which. That's question number one. And question number two is, why do I need either one? It should be obvious that women are Patur from Sukkah. It should be obvious that women are Chayv in Inui and Yom Kippurim. Amar Abayi Li'olam Sukkah Hilchsa. Sukkah is the one that's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. V'Istrich. And I need the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai to tell me that women are Patur from Sukkah, because there are two possible reasons why we would have thought women are chayiv in Sukkah. Number one, salka daidich amina teishu kein taduru. Madira ish v'ishto, av Sukkah ish v'ishto. I would have thought that since a person is supposed to live in Sukkah the same way he lives in his house, so just like you live in your house with your wife, so too you have to live in the Sukkah with your wife, and therefore women should be chayiv in Sukkah. Kamash Malan, therefore comes to tell me that women are pater from sukkah based on the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, that women are pater from sukkah. But without the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, I would have thought part of teshuvah came to duru is that women are chayiv in sukkah. The Ramah in Siman Tav Reish Lamed Tes Si'if Beis writes that the minhag that people have nowadays, that a lot of times they don't sleep in the sukkah, he says the svar for it is that the mitzvah of sukkah is to sleep the same way you sleep in your house, and just like in your house you sleep with your wife in the room, so to the sukkah, in your sukkah you need your wife to be there with you, because teshu came to duru, and since everyone does not have their own individual sukkah, their own private sukkahs, everyone used to share, the whole community would share a sukkah, it would be highly inappropriate to sleep with everyone's wife in the sukkah, and that's where the minhag came from, that people no longer sleep in the sukkah. And the Ramah is a raya from a Gemara in Erech in Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara seems to say explicitly that the Kohanim were pater from chayiv in sukkah because when they were with their wives they were pater from sukkah because their wives couldn't be in the sukkah. So he brought a raya from that Gemara that Kohanim are only chayiv shalo b'shas avodah, because then they're allowed to be with their wives, but b'shas avodah where they're not allowed to be with their wives they're pater from sukkah. So it's muchach that you have to sleep with your wife in the sukkah. So the Ramah says if you're going to be yotzei teshuvah kein tadiru, it's got to be with your wife. And the Ramah says, and it's also a raya from this Gemara. So Magen Avraham says, a raya from this Gemara. This Gemara says the exact opposite. This Gemara says that the wives don't have to be in the sukkah. The Gemara says, I might have thought that you have to be in the sukkah with your wife, teshuvah kein tadiru, kamash milan. That's why we have halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, that women are pater. So the way the Ramah must have understood this Gemara is, kamash milan, that that's not a reason to be mechayev women themselves in sukkah. But in a chinami, they're going to have to be there if the man is going to be yotzei schiv in sukkah. So it's sort of like women are not chayiv in Pru Revu, but good luck to the man doing the mitzvah Pru Revu without a woman involved. So they're a necessary component of the mitzvah, they just don't have their own personal chiyuv in the mitzvah. That's how the Ramah must have understood this Gemara. Rava says there's a different reason that we would have had a havamina, that women are chayiv in sukkah. We might have thought to learn it from Pesach, just like on Chamisha Asar women are chayiv in matzah, because we have a drash on the Gemara in Mesachs Pesachim that anyone who's asri chametz is chayiv in matzah. So we say the same by sukkah. So that's why I need halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim to tell me not that way by sukkah. Va'asher damar sukkah hilchsa kral lamali. Once we have halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim by sukkah, so what do I do with the word ha'ezrach? L'rabu says agerim. That tells me that gerim are chayiv in sukkah. Salka dayi chamina ha'ezrach b'Yisrael amarachman v'lo as agerim. I might have thought ha'ezrach means native citizens of the Jewish people and not gerim. Kamash milan. Yom Kippur midrav Yudah merav nafka. Ask the Gemara. Wait, Yom Kippur, that women are chayiv in inoy, I shouldn't learn that from Ha'ezrach. That I already know, that women are chayiv in inoy, because Hishra Kasavi Shalish L'Kolon Shin Shabbatara, we never answered that question yet. Says Gemara, Lo Nitzcha L'Tosef Es Inoy. No, the Drash is coming to tell me that women are not only chayiv in inoy, but are being mosif extra inoy, mosif Michal Al Kodesh. Salka Dayt Chamina Hol Mitrach Man L'Tosef Es Inoy Me Onosh Me Asara, Lo Nitz Chayiv in Oshim Klal. I might have thought that since there's no Onosh in Asara and Tosef Es Inoy, it's just a mitzvah sasei, so women are not chayiv at all. Kamash Milan, therefore, comes to tell me that women are chayiv in Tosef Es Inoy as well. Amar Mar Kol Rabbos as a Ketanim. We also mentioned in this Brisa that Kol tells me that Ketanim are chayiv in Sukkah as well. What? Ketanim are chayiv in Sukkah? Vatnan, the Mishnah said, Nashma Avadim Ketanim Peturim in a Sukkah. That Ketanim are potter from Sukkah. So, Malo Kasha, Kan Bekatan Shigil Chinuch, Kan Bekatan Shlo Gil Chinuch. It depends what kind of Katan he is. If he's already at the age of Chinuch, he's chayiv. If he's below the age of Chinuch, he's potter. Katan Shigil Chinuch Midrabanan Hu. But even a Katan Shigil Chinuch is only a din Midrabanan. So why are we quoting a pasuk? Midrabanan v'kras machta b'yalmu. Ein achinami chinuch is only midrabanan, but the pasuk is nasmachta. So that's why we're quoting a pasuk. But ein achinami the chinuch is only going to be midrabanan. Katan sheino tzarich lima. The Mishnah said that a child who no longer needs his mother's assistance is chayiv in sukkah. So frankly, Mar hechidami katan sheino tzarich lima. What does that mean? Katan sheino tzarich lima. Everybody needs their mother. What does it mean? Katan sheino tzarich lima. Two possibilities. Amri dvei Rabbi Yana kol shenifna veinimu mekanachto. Means he doesn't need his mother's assistance when he goes to the bathroom. Rabbi Shimon Omer, or what does it change it to? Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer kol Kol Shenayr Mishnas Avenu Kari Ima, that anyone who wakes up, he doesn't need his mother in the middle of the night. When he wakes up in the middle of the night, he doesn't scream out Ima. So says Gemara, Gedolim Nami Karu. Sometimes a person's in the middle of a dream or something, and he'll wake up, and even if he's older, even if he's an 11-year-old child, he's going to wake up and scream Ima. Ella Kol Shenayr Avenu Kari Ima Ima. No, he's going to stop. He's going to say, oh, well, I don't mean to be screaming for my mommy, and he's not going to keep screaming mommy, mommy. But at the when a child is very young, a 3-year-old child is going to scream mommy till mommy comes. So that's a katan shein tzarich lima. Umaisav yolda kalaso. Then the Mishnah tells the story of Shammai's daughter-in-law, where they put the schach over the bed. So maisa listar. This maisa contradicts the halacha. We just said the halacha was that a child is potter from sukkah, and then you tell a maisa that they're putting schach over the child's bed. So says mar chesur mechzer v'hachi katani. We need to add in an extra line in the Mishnah as follows: v'shammai machmir. That as much as a katan is potter, Shammai was machmir. And the ma'aseh happened that the kalas of Shammai HaZaken had a baby, and he put tzchach over the bed for the sake of the baby, because Shammai himself was machmir about this issue with children. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow. Oh, yeah.